This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to the Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? Welcome back to The Showrunner. This is episode number 14 of The Showrunner. I am your host, Jared Morris. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Johnny Naster. And Johnny, you and I did something rather fun yesterday. Do you want to share with the listeners what it was that we did?
Yeah, and it was fun. We did the 100th episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And the extra special guest, I guess, was me. And you interviewed me, and it was really, really cool. And
yeah.
I don't know, it made me kind of introspective before. I haven't had time to be introspective since I launched in September, because I went through 100 episodes really quick.
Yeah.
But it right before, I was like, wow, this is, you sent me like the intro you recorded, and I was like, wow, like 100 episodes I've recorded of a podcast, and it's a big body of work. It's a lot of people I've talked to, and a lot of show notes and transcriptions now. It's amazing. And so I was like, wow, that was, so it was cool. It was really, really fun. And I'm looking forward to getting it out, I believe, tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that episode's coming out tomorrow. And certainly congratulations are in order, because that is quite a feat. And especially to do it in the time span that you did it in, because, I mean, it's been less than a year since you launched, and obviously your very ambitious recording schedule and publishing schedule has had a lot to do with that. But especially when you think about how many podcasts never get past episode 7, and now here you are already at 100, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel good. And I know that obviously my success of the show, with the show, is completely based on the fact that I got past episode 7. And I mean, I've said it so many times, I'm not necessarily a better podcaster or interviewer than anybody. I do work a lot harder than a lot of people. And when I find something that I just want to do, and I wanted to push this show as far and as fast as I could, so I went for a high publishing schedule and just went for it. And I breezed through 100 like nothing. And 200 is going to be, I don't know how quick, it's crazy, but it's impressive. So I'm happy with it.
You know, and I will say it had to be a unique position for you to be in, basically being interviewed on your own show. And you've done 99 of these other interviews on the other side of it. And I will just say that from my perspective, it was really strange sitting in someone else's chair, you know, because, I mean, obviously with the Showrunner, you know, we've kind of had our defined roles with what we do here, and we've done it since the start. You know, other shows I've had, when you start it and you're kind of the one driving the bus, you never get that feeling. But with a show like yours that's already been so successful, and you do have such a defined format and some consistent ways that you say things and that you transition your listeners from one segment to the next, it was really fun and also nerve-wracking to have that responsibility, and then to try and go through and match it as much as possible while still putting my own little spin on it, but being as true to your format as possible, because, you know, this is your show. I'm just sitting in the host chair one time because you asked me to. So, and I don't know if there's any grand lessons, because I don't know, that's not like it's that often of an occurrence, but I do think for anybody, if you ever get that opportunity, take it, because it's a really interesting position to put yourself in someone else's chair. And I had a lot of fun with it. So I appreciate you giving me that opportunity. It was really fun.
Yeah, it was totally my pleasure. And I mean, now that you're talking about it like this, it's maybe like there is a lesson, like, because as you were doing it, you did it so well. And I was listening, and like, you put your own spin on it, but it was my question said my way, and you transitioned the same way. And it was interesting because, I mean, yeah, I've done it so many times, but you just kind of get into the mode, and I do it now. And to do it from the other side, yesterday all I was thinking was like, wow, like I've asked these questions like 99 times and I've never thought about my own answer to this question until it's being asked to me. It's like, oh, and then, but I don't know, I guess because I've so clearly defined the show, which I guess is a lesson, right? Like, and I didn't even almost so much know because I'm in it, right? But then to hear you do it, it's like, wow, he just listened. Like, we didn't talk about this. We didn't discuss how you were going to do it. You literally just listened to the show and picked up. It's like, John, this is what John does each time. And he brings his listener through this. And then you were able to do that, which is probably a good sign of a show, I would think, right? It's, there's a clear host. There's a clear definition of what's going on, like sort of the transition I'm trying to get the listener to go through. And you, it's there. Like, you could pick up on it. I would assume that other people are picking up on it. And that's probably why people listen to it, because they know that.
It works. And there's something the audience is expecting. And, I mean, for me to go in there and try and do it my own way when this isn't my show and it clearly works would have been a pretty arrogant move on my part. So it was fun to try and put myself in your shoes and give the audience what they were expecting. So hopefully I did that.
You did it so well. That's what was really funny and interesting to me. I was just like, wow, he can really do that well.
my favorite line was saying, and you can call me Jared, because I don't have a name. I was going to use my high school nickname, actually, and be like, and you can call me such and such, but I decided not to do that. Nor do I plan on revealing my high school nickname here either. So just call me.
I was just waiting for it. I was like on the edge of my seat. What is it? What is it?
No, there's a reason why. So just call me such and such. Just can't call me Jared. It's fine. Hey, but all I want to say to you, Johnny, is keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's awesome and it's amazing.
Thank you.
All right. So on that note, this is an important day. This episode is coming out on Wednesday, July 1st. We are currently in the midst of the one-week reopening of the Showrunner podcasting course, and tomorrow those doors close. And so if you are on the Showrunner email list, you have already gotten this information. You've had a chance to review the sales page and see if it's for you. If you are not on the email list, you definitely want to make sure that you do that. Go to showrunner.fm, get on the email list. You'll immediately get a message that gives you the details of the course, assuming that you get on that list before July 2nd, if you're listening to this episode a little bit later. And what we want to do for this episode is basically bring you a little sneak peek of what's inside the course. So in episode 10, we talked about why it's so important to build an email list. And in episode 13, just last week, we talked about the keys to confidence. And we actually expound on those topics in a big way inside of the course. So we have a bonus interview with Chris Garrett of Copyblogger, where he and I talk for about an hour about some more advanced email techniques, and specifically how you can use email not just to build an audience, but eventually use your podcast to build a business or for your podcast to fit into an already existing business. And then I also did a bonus interview with Christina Canters of the C Method, where we talk about confidence and ways to gain confidence before you have it, ways to maintain your confidence once you have developed it. And so what we're going to do with this episode is just play you a couple of clips from those lessons from inside of the course. So you're getting a real sneak peek of what's inside the course. And just to give you a little more information so you can decide if giving the Showrunner podcasting course is something that you want to try. John, any final words that you want to say to preface this before we get into the clips?
Oh, I think you did it pretty well. But yeah, this is the end of, I believe this is completely going to be the end of pilot launch for the course. This is our second one. This time it's only 1 week. Last time was two. And then we go into full big launch mode this summer with Copyblogger and Rainmaker.fm. And that's when I think the price kind of gets out of our control. So
yes,
right now is the last time to get in and to get everything that we're going to keep putting into the course and keep doing with the course and building upon. So I think now's the time. And the feedback has been great. So I know that anybody who does decide to come in, they are going to be more than happy. If they're not, then by all means, they have that 30-day money-back guarantee. So it is worth the shot. But the feedback feedback's like really, really, really good. And it makes me so happy. And the community we have within Facebook, and it's great. So I just hope that everyone who's kind of on the fence does decide to take a look at that sales page and check it out, see if it's right for you.
Yeah. And, you know, we wanted this episode to talk about the course, since this portion of the launch closes tomorrow. But we don't want to just talk about the course. We actually want to give you some value, again, by giving you real information that's in the course. So we'll let you listen to these clips right now. It'll be about 5 or 6 minutes from each one of these. I think you'll pick up some really good tips, some really good insight, so that even if you're not interested in the course, even if all you want to do is stay with us as an audience member of the Showrunner Podcast, this is still going to be great information that you can use for your own shows. So with all of that said, now first will be the clip of me talking with Chris Garrett. Second will be the clip of me talking with Christina Canters. And then Johnny and I will meet you on the other side.
You have all these people who have channels, they have subscribers, they have massively popular videos, but if you don't get people on a list, then you have very little way of reaching those people on demand. You have to wait for them to find you, or you have to hope that they come back and visit, and then you find out that your channel has been closed, or your Facebook page has been cancelled, mm-hmm. or iTunes is no longer listing you, and then what do you do? Or if for any reason you have to end your show, but you still want to have that community and have that contact, what do you do then?
Yeah. So are you saying that digital sharecropping is not a good strategy?
It's not the best. People are don't get me wrong, people are successful doing all of those things right up until there's a problem. I mean, if you look at the Google changes, people have had super successful websites. They've had millions of page views and visitors a month. And then Google changes their algorithm, the way they rank sites, decides that you're not all you were mm-hmm. or what people thought you were. And suddenly traffic goes to zero and you have no way of reaching your audience, no way of getting people to come back. So the email list is not just a way of building a bigger show, a bigger community. It's also insurance against other people deciding your fate. So there's a good part, a positive, in that you can grow your podcast more easily and more reliably if you have an email list. But also it's insurance against bad stuff happening.
Yeah, I think the biggest mindset shift for me is when I learned to view an email list as an asset that you're building, you know, and really an important one when it comes to eventually turning a podcast or turning your blog or your platform into a business. And so, and as we go through this lesson, I really want to talk about that, because I know that a lot of the people, when they get to this lesson, they'll be thinking in those terms. So let's talk about growing the list now. So, you know, everybody, I think, you know, understands the importance of the list. They're ready. They're ready to get their opt-in, you know, on their site. How then do you provide the right incentive to get people onto a list? Because we know that having the right incentive is a big part of maximizing the growth of the list. And for podcasters, the obvious one is send out episode updates. You know, you have a new episode, you send out an email. But a good incentive is probably going to be more than that. So what incentives should showrunners be considering in exchange for getting email signups?
I would say alerts that you've got a new episode out is a bare minimum. It's like the least you should be doing. And in my opinion, rather than just saying, hey, we have a new episode out, I think it's nice to have some context and say, this is why you should listen to this. This is why it's important to you right now. Because otherwise, it's so thin that you're not adding any value.
Is that, let me specify something there. Does that mean doing more than what you're already doing in the show description on the site? Like, should it be something different, or is that sufficient if you're providing that context in the description already?
I think it can be sufficient, but I think when somebody is listening to you on a podcast and then they take the extra step to get an email, they want more than that. They want more than they can just view on the web page. Mm-hmm. So it could be injecting some personality. It could be a personal anecdote. It could be communicating as this is a community rather than you're a listener, which elevates them from being somebody that's just passive to somebody that's interactive and involved. So, you know, you could give a name to this community. So you could say, hey, showrunners, you know, or showrunner, or, you know, obviously with email, it's nice to say, hey, Jared, but I think that there is a level up that you can take it to. Now, if you have time and you've got the energy, I think it's great to add value. So you could say something that I didn't say in the episode, which maybe I should have, is, and you could tell a story there and then say, check out the rest of the episode here.
So basically giving a little bonus that only people on the email list are going to get.
Yeah, I think turn it around and ask yourself as a listener, why would they take the step of being on your list? And this is a crucial idea to get your head around. It's not about you, it's about them. Mm-hmm. It's about what's in it for me on the behalf of them. But also, not just why should I join the list, why should I stick around? Mm-hmm. Because in my experience with dealing with companies of all sizes, everybody focuses on getting the opt-in, the conversion rate, building the list. Hardly anybody focuses on keeping people on the list, which is actually the hardest part. Mm-hmm. Getting people onto a list traditionally has been, yeah, there's been some friction there, but there's tricks. And I disagree with using tricks, but, you know, people are put on lists all the time against their wishes, let alone, you know, let alone happily. So if spammers can get you onto a list, anybody can build a list. The trick is keeping people happy on that list, keeping people on the list and getting them to bring friends, referrals. That is vital. So you have to think, it's not just about the incentive to get people on the list. It's also, why would they stick around? And if they can get that information without you being in their inbox, then they're probably not going to stick around. And at worst, they're going to mark you as a spammer.
That's a great distinction, and I'm glad you made it, because even as I'm... So let me ask you this question, bringing it back specifically about podcasting, because you've gone through this. So we talked about the one type of person that's in the showrunner course, which is, you know, someone who hasn't started a show yet. They're going through all these things for the first time. But we also have people who do have shows, and they don't, you know, they're comfortable behind a mic because they've done it. They have all that kind of experience. But where they may be struggling with confidence is they want to pivot their show. They want to change their topic a little bit, tilt their topic and do something else. And maybe they're worried that their audience won't come with them, or, you know, that they want to rebrand it in some way. They want to take it in a little bit of a different direction. And you've done this. How can someone gain that confidence that it's okay to shift gears and to do something a little bit different and know that the important members of your audience, the people who are really there for the right reasons and who you truly understand and are giving useful content to, will come with you?
I was afraid that people wouldn't come with me because I did go from such a niche audience to a more broad audience. But I emailed my list of my old podcasts and I was like, hey, just letting you know, I'm starting a new podcast and I'll be switching email lists so you won't get any emails related to this stuff anymore. I'm going to transfer you over. If you don't want to come with me, just reply and let me know and I'll be happy to unsubscribe you. And zero people did that. Everyone was happy to come with me. So I think it comes back to that, you know, idea that people are there to listen to you. I guess if your topic is radically different, like if you were podcasting about basketball and then you're going to start podcasting about real estate, you know, that's a little, yeah. I can imagine, okay, maybe people from your basketball audience aren't going to switch over. But if it's semi-related, I don't think you'll have a problem. Like if people really you know, value you and what you have to offer, then they'll come with you. But I think I actually took a few months off in between the end of my first podcast and the launch of my second one, and my idea actually pivoted a few times within that period. So it actually takes, you might have an idea now and go, I'm thinking pivoting to this. I would say, like, keep mulling on that for a bit and make sure it is, because you don't want to have to pivot again, right? Yeah. My initial idea for my new podcast was purely based on creativity, and it was going to be, how can you be creative to stand out? But it's since, and it was going to be aimed at podcasters specifically. So another specific thing. But the more I thought about it, the other ideas I got, you know, I'm a big proponent of sharing your ideas with people. So tell people what you're thinking, especially supportive people in the podcasting space. Say, look, I'm thinking of doing this or doing this, and see what they have to say, and really, like, feel what resonates with you and what you, I know a lot of it is that sort of gut feeling, really. And yeah. When you get excited, when you feel yourself getting excited about a certain topic, but it stays there. It's not like an initial, like, high and then a kind of, oh, maybe not. See if it, you know, that's why I say, like, think it over. And then, like, a month later, if the idea is still there, then, yeah, then maybe move forward with that.
Well, and to kind of go along with that, you know, the other thing is when you start a show or if you pivot, you know, with anything new, yeah. there's going to be feelings of, you know, nerves, uncertainty. Is this working? And certainly not everything catches fire right away. And there's a certain level of patience that's required. But at what point is it okay to say, hey, maybe this just isn't working? You know, and maybe you've tried to develop confidence, but you're losing confidence because the audience isn't responding. Like, how long do you think it takes, you know, and since we're talking about podcasts, in terms of episodes or in terms of time, to really know and be able to make a judgment? Or is there even a way to answer that?
Oh, I think you do need to give it a good shot, because, you know, if after a month you're like, oh, I don't think this is right, I don't think you've really given it that much of a go. It's just like with anything you try, like, you need to really give it a good go before you decide whether you like it or not. So, you know, for me it took 9 months of podcasting with that first one. But at the same time, like, that was my business model, and my business model was changing too. So it seemed a bit silly to be working with business people and going into companies and doing workshops and speaking, and for podcasters as well. It seemed a bit silly to sort of have this podcast that's for a completely different audience. So my business model was changing. Also, here's a tip. This is what happened to me. I was targeting architects and designers, right? But after I sent that Pat Flynn video, and I started to get all these fans, like, writing to me who are from the podcasting world, and I was like, I'm trying so hard to get the attention of designers and architects and graduates, and I was, you know, I was doing all right, but I was getting this amazing response from podcasters and business owners, and I was like, I should be working with these people. So, you know, for someone who's podcasting, like, pay attention to the compliments you're getting, to the feedback you're getting. Who are the people with whom your message is resonating the most? And I understand that if you want to pivot down the track, because at the start, you don't know. Like, you don't know if that message is going to resonate with those people that you're trying to target. And you might find that you actually get a response from different people or whatever. That's what happened to me. And, you know, I think it's, and then in that case, it's okay to go, well, I'm going to work with the people who want to work with me, or podcast for the people who want to listen. So, I know it's a bit of a long-winded answer, but it really does depend.
No, it's a great
audience.
Yeah, it's a great answer, and it's from your personal experience. And that's why I wanted you to come and do this lesson, and that's why I'm so happy that you said yes to doing that. And why I think this lesson is going to be really valuable. So my last question. right. Well, we're on the other side, back here with Johnny. And what do you say we jump right into our listener question?
Yeah, I think we should.
Since we're all about role reversals this week, do you want to read the question?
Yeah, I can do that.
Excellent.
This week's question comes from Belinda Weaver. So thank you, Belinda, for sending this question over. Her question is, I'm looking at different types of intros right now and would be interested in your thoughts. We're using a scripted intro for consistency, then jumping into the topic. I know other hosts have a WeChat first. Is there one that works better than the other, or is it down to style and audience? This is a great question, and I'm going to put it back to you, Jared, to answer first.
This is a great question, and yes, there absolutely, definitively is one that works better than the other. And it's the one that works best for you and your audience. So a little bit of a misdirection there. I mean, really, is there one that works better? You can't really give a blanket answer to that. Like, yes, using a scripted intro is better. Or yes, doing a more casual intro like we do is better. It really is going to follow the decisions that you make based on your format, based on what your topic is, and based on your audience and what works best. And so, because there isn't one that works perfectly, it may be something that you change as your show evolves, and I think that's totally okay. But see what you're comfortable with. See what your audience responds to. If you're working with a co-host, see where that chemistry is the best fit and allow that to make the decision for you as opposed to any preconceived notion that it has to be this, that, or the other. That's what
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, and that's a great answer, and it's totally true. It's based on your audience, and then me personally, which obviously it's completely subjective to me, but I know myself listening. And pay attention, like Belinda, when you are listening to other people's podcasts, especially for the first time, pay attention to how you react. I find myself turning off podcasts really quickly sometimes. Try out a new show within 3 or 4 minutes. If it's not going somewhere, I'll go on to something else. And their content could be the greatest content in the world, but it's just not my style. I'm all about the idea of leave them wanting more. So if you can make things quicker to me, or at least make that intro, I love the intro music with a voice behind it, kind of telling me quickly what this show is about and what I can expect to get out of it. And that helps me to determine right away if this is something I want to listen to. And if that's right, and that hits me properly as your audience member, and then you chat and the chat gets boring or just totally off topic for way too long, then I might not make it through that. And then it's different, of course. Once you become a listener of a show, you can take a lot more of people's chatting. So it is totally based on your show, and you have to feel that out for yourself. All I know is that I've rarely felt like, oh, I wish they would just talk about nothing for longer. That's just me, though. That's my feeling. And I think the best is always to just be conscious next time. Find a couple new shows, put them on immediately for the first time ever, and just kind of be aware of how you react to it, and then think about yourself and put that in your listener's shoes and just see how it works.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this week's listener question, no surprise, is brought to you by the Showrunner Podcasting Course. And John and I have told you our thoughts about it. We've given you a little sneak peek with Chris Garrett and Christina Cantors and their contribution to the course. But we want to let someone who's in the course tell you their thoughts about it. And so Sonia Thompson was one of the first people who signed up. She's been one of the most active members of the community. And so I talked with her last week, actually, about her thoughts on it. And so I will play you some of those now. And just so you know, Sonia is going to be starting her own show. It's not up yet, but it will be at trybizschool.com, TryBizSchool.com. And I actually got to listen to the first episode of her show. It's a great interview. So once her podcast is up, I definitely, definitely encourage you to listen to it. But right now, go to her blog because she's got some really good posts up there. So we love Sonia, and she loves the course. And here are a few of her words about the course.
So when it came to podcasting, which was a totally different and new medium for me,
Getting over that hurdle of starting something that you've never done before, even though you know more of the basic elements of the content that you're trying to produce, it's a whole different medium. So going through the course gave me the confidence specifically of all the moving parts that I needed to think through to be able to make this work to grow my business. So if I hadn't gone through the course, I would have been sort of piecing things together and I might have had a very frustrating experience and said, you know what, you know, this podcasting thing isn't going to work. But now my mindset has changed completely and I have a much clearer view of how to work the podcast from the launch, from the first initial 8-week period, and even over the long term. I've got that vision, and going through the course has given me the information and the support and the accountability that I need to be able to move forward and create a remarkable experience for my audience.
Ah, very cool. I love that phrase that you ended with right there. Well, Sonia, thank you. You were one of the very first people who signed up. You've been one of the most active people in the community. So thank you for sharing your experience with everybody now who's listening and trying to decide if the Showrunner course is for them. I appreciate
it. My pleasure. I hope to see them all inside.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Sonia. And Johnny, what do you say? Podcast recommendations?
Yeah, let's do podcast recommendations.
Let's do it. So the one that I'm going to recommend is probably one that a lot of people have heard of. Like, I don't think I'm going to be breaking any news here, but I just want to make sure that people realize what has happened. So my podcast recommendation is Mark Maron interviewing President Barack Obama on the WTF podcast. For this episode, Barack Obama traveled to Mark Maron's garage and sat in the garage and was interviewed just like all of Mark's other guests. The President of the United States was on a podcast. This isn't a CNN interview that was turned into a podcast. He was on a podcast because his people, he wanted to find a way to communicate directly with the people, and they've decided that podcasts are a way to do it. Obviously, Mark Maron is one of the biggest podcasters out there, and so it's whether you're a fan of the president or not, whether you're a fan of Mark Maron's show or not, whatever, don't even listen if you don't want to, but just the fact that this happened is yet another huge feather in the cap of podcasting. So that should be exciting. But I do urge you to listen because it's a terrific conversation. Regardless of your politics, if you want to know how to interview somebody, especially someone that is going to make you nervous because you know Mark was nervous, but he still did a really good job of finding some personal moments, some moments of connection with the President of the United States, which is really an amazing feat. And so, and I commend the President too for being open and delivering good content. And then I'll also just say, if you like that interview, go check out the interview Mark Maron then did with Terry Gross on Fresh Air, where he basically gave the behind the scenes about how the interview happened, what it was like. It's a really great, you know, little piece of insight there if you like the original interview. So really huge moment for podcasters, though, just the fact that that happened.
Yeah, I haven't even listened to it yet, but I'm going to. But did you see did you see the download numbers on it?
Oh my God, I can't even imagine.
So I'm looking at it right now. They posted it via Libsyn, published the numbers for them. So they published the episode really, really early Monday morning. Great time to, probably the best time to publish an episode of a podcast if you're only going to do it once a week. And the show within 24 hours, that episode was downloaded 735,063 times.
Holy moly.
And then more than 900,000 times in the first 36 hours.
Wow.
That's like serious download numbers. And I know we don't want to focus on download numbers, but it shows the power of, I mean, podcasting as, I mean, then with the president, obviously it helps and it expands Mark Maron's audience. It's amazing.
It was huge.
Yeah. I mean, I have to listen to it and I urge everybody. It's a great recommendation because everybody should listen to it. And 900,000 people did, apparently, in the first 36 hours.
Yeah. The lesson, as always, if you want to drive download numbers, book the president. Is that in your secrets to booking awesome guests lesson inside the course, John?
Yeah, that's number three, I believe. All right. So my recommendation for the week is The Writer Files. It's from Rainmaker.fm. It's been a while since we've done a Rainmaker show, and this is one of the newer shows now. So, and it is Kelton Reed is the host. He does a great job. This started off as like posts with text, right, on CopyBlogger.
Yes,
and
it did.
Yeah, now they've been moved over, and he's now starting them doing an audio version. And it's a great, great show. And this episode is Austin Kleon, the artist and author. And they do a great show. So that's my recommendation for the week. It's the latest one from this week, so you can find it at rainmaker.fm, The Writer Files with Kelton Reed, and the guest was Austin Kleon.
And you and I both found out about this particular show during an authority session that we did with Kelton. It was an interview on interviewing. We went meta again. But for anybody who's listening, if you're in authority, CopyBloggers Authority, go over there, and if you look in the seminars, you'll see the session that John and I did with Kelton Reed. And if you want any more insight on interviewing, give that a listen. It's there for you.
Yeah, so that's actually why I had to go listen to it, obviously, because yeah. You were asking him questions about interviewing. I'm like, man, this guy really knows his stuff, this Kelton guy. So I had to, and I am an Austin Kleon fan, so it made perfect sense. And it's a great show, and I'm going to go back through and listen to the rest of The Writer Files because it's good.
And if you just like deep, awesome voices, then just listen to Kelton talk, because his voice is the envy of us podcasters everywhere.
Damn you, Kelton.
Damn you, Kelton. Funny story. He and my dad went to the same high school.
Really?
Yeah. Crazy.
That's fun.
Very crazy. Well, I think it's time to wrap up another episode of The Showrunner. And the call to action this week is simple. If you're not on the email list yet, join the email list, showrunner.fm. You'll see it. You can't miss the form to submit your email address. Not only will you immediately get the details of the course so that you can check out the page, decide if you want to join, you will also get updates about new episodes. And we're going to do some more stuff with the email list too. So especially if you're a new listener and maybe you're not sure which of our early episodes you really need to listen to, we'll start doing some stuff where we're going back through the archive with you and giving you a little starting place and helping to guide you through the archive. So many, many reasons to get on the list. Choose whichever one works for you, and then go to showrunner.fm and get on there.
Yeah, and I'm going to extend out the call to action a little bit. I'm not going to add a second call to action because that's not how you do it, but I'm going to just add on a little bit. The course, again, pilot launch closes tomorrow. If you have any questions, Jared and I are kind of all over Twitter. So you can, by all means, come on there and ask us anything you want about the course. If you have any specific questions, and we'll be there to answer them for you. You can find us at Showrunner FM, or I'm at John Nastor, JONNASTOR, and then Jared Morris.
That's right.
Which your handle is at Jared Morris, I believe.
It is. Yes,
but yeah, you can hit us there and ask us any questions if you wish, and we'll be glad to answer you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's close this up, Johnny, and hopefully we'll see a lot of you inside of the course. Take care, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
Au revoir.
Adios.
I think that's what they... Oh, yeah. Spanish. Arigato? Is that hello? I don't even know.
Auf Wiedersehen?
Oh, perhaps.
Aloha, right? Doesn't that mean hello and goodbye?
It could. I don't know anything about Hawaii.
Just Canada.
Yeah, I barely know that.
All right, let's get out of here. All right, good stuff. I am stopping the recording.